Are you ready for the word this morning? Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm still basking in that conference we had. You know, 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm going to read from verse 1. I'm reading from the NIV. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. See, the last time Samaria saw any kind of rain was about 3 years ago. The famine was severe. They were struggling. 3 years ago, they haven't seen anything at all. Elijah was okay because God was looking after him. You know, when the famine struck, God said to him, go to the brook Kirith because I'm going to command a raven to feed you there. So that's where he was. And he stayed there until the brook dried up. And God said, I'll relocate you. And he sent him to a woman in Zarephath. And God looked after him. See, he had no problem. And as children of God, we need to come to the place where what happens in the economy shouldn't affect us. Because we are a chosen generation. Yes. We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And that's what Elijah was experiencing. But the problem was, that wasn't the case. The children of Israel were experiencing the drought as well. And I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who's going through a period of drought. Either in your relationships, either in your marriage, even in your walk with God. I wonder if you're experiencing a period of drought. But I have good news. Because God says, go see Ahab because rains are about to come. Times of refreshing is about to come. Hallelujah. Is somebody in the house happy this morning that times of refreshing? Hallelujah. Now, I'm very conscious of walking this way and that way. Pastor Paul said something last week. He said, Godfrey, I was speaking to a friend. You know Alex, the white couple who used to come. Is it Polish or is it Polish they are from? I don't know. That's right. So he said, Pastor Paul said, he sent him a text saying, do you know where Godfrey comes from? They eat cats. And then the guy said, oh, I see. That's why anytime he's preaching, he walks like a cat. He goes this way. I said, Pastor Paul, why would you even do this? So I'm very conscious now. So if I'm walking like a cat, please just let me know. But anyway, Alex, we'll have to deal with him later. Pardon? I need heal for life. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was so severe in Samaria. Now as he goes to present himself to Ahab, let's see what happens in verse 45. Verse 45 of 18. It says, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. No, let's go to the verse before that. 44, please. It says, the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as the man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. 45. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain started falling and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Hallelujah. See, these were the same people who were crying for rain. Now rain is coming and they are running away. May the blessing of God chase somebody this year. May the favor of God rest upon somebody this year. Hallelujah. These were the same people who were crying for rain. Now rain is coming and they are about to run away. May the heavens open over your life. Now you see, before they got that breakthrough, something happened in verse 21. Before they got that breakthrough, something happened. Elijah asked them a question in verse 21. It says, Elijah went before the people and said, how long would you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They said nothing. They were quiet. Now, that tells me two things. Maybe they were not sure where they stood. Or maybe they were really guilty. So they were quiet. They said nothing. Now, these are people who had seen the power of God before. Before they moved into Samaria, they promised Joshua that, look, we would never forsake our God. We'll always worship our God. And now they find themselves in a place where they are not even sure where they stand. So they said nothing. Nothing. And you know, the funny thing about the gods that they were worshiping, this Baal is the god of rain. It's a god of fertility. And yet it's so interesting that they're having to come. See, anything that God tries to bring into your life, the devil will try and have a duplicate. So now they were confused between Baal and God. How can you be confused after all that God had done in your life? And he says, look, how long would you waver between two opinions? How long would you waver between two beliefs or even two attitudes? And they said nothing because they felt guilty. They said nothing. They were just, or maybe they were confused. You know, spiritual indecision. I don't know how many people have ever faced that. Spiritual indecision. It's a huge problem. Don't get me wrong. There are some people, when it comes to their commitment to God, no compromise in certain areas. But when it comes to certain areas like their values or their relationships or their money, then there's a compromise. You don't know where they stand. You know, the Bible talks about being double-minded. You know, in Psalm 119, and Sister Mary is not here, she quoted a scripture in Psalm 119, verse 113. It says what? God hates. Can we go to Psalm 119, verse 113? It says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. And I thought, that's a strong word. I hate double-minded people. You know what stopped the people from receiving the blessing? It's because of where they were standing. They were not sure where they stood with God. All the time, clouds of blessing was over them. It's only when they decided who they wanted to that suddenly the blessing broke over their lives. You know, the devil can never stop God from blessing you, but he can stop you from receiving what God has for you. He can never, never stop, but he can stop you from receiving what God has for you. He can. Where do you stand right now with your relationship with God? Where do you stand? Are you in that place where you are double-minded? You think, I know there are areas that I believe God, but when it comes to my health, I'm struggling. When it comes to my wealth, I'm struggling to believe God. When it comes to other areas, I'm struggling to believe God. And then you find yourself in a situation, God, what do I do? You've got one foot here, one foot there, 50-50. God says, I hate people like this. I can't. Well, the psalmist says, I hate. I thought it was such a strong word. But you know, at times you have to deal with these things so that you see the manifestation of his glory upon your life. You can't compete with anything else that competes with God. You can't. God doesn't like that kind of competition at all. Can we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18? And so Elijah says, look, we need to deal with this issue because it's stopping your blessing from manifesting. We need to deal with this issue. So in the next verse 22, see what he does. Says, then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Next verse. Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophets choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. And all the people said, what you say is good. So they come to that agreement. And so with 850 prophets, Elijah says, you take the lead, you start. And they prepare the altar, and they put the bull there, and they start praying and calling on their God to bring down fire. For the next 10 hours, these guys kept praying and crying and screaming, and nothing happened. And Elijah said, oh, wow, what's wrong with your God? Maybe he's on a journey, so try harder. And they keep trying, saying, no, maybe he's asleep. He goes as far as saying, maybe he's even in the loo. Try hard. And these guys, for 10 hours, they keep trying to the point they begin to cut themselves, hoping that their blood will do something for them. But there's no blood that speaks louder than the blood of Jesus. Now, this doesn't work. And then Elijah's time comes. In verse 30, see what he does. It says, then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him and he said, repair the altar of the Lord which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes. Each of the tribe descended from Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stone, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold two seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill your large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. And they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar, even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back to them. Elijah does this. And the Bible says, the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Now that prayer that he made, I don't even think it took 30 seconds to say that prayer. Compare that to what the prophets of Baal were doing. 10 hours they were praying, screaming, shouting, and nothing happened. And as I was looking at his prayer, I saw three things in his prayer. The first thing is that one, it says, Lord, answer me, answer me. Where is this? Answer me so that these people will know that you are Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you sent me, or this is from you. And answer me so that their hearts will be turned to you. Everything he said in that prayer pointed towards God. Everything he said in that prayer was for God's glory. And at times when God does something for you, it is for his glory. If it's a car he gives you, it has to be for his glory. If it's a house, it has to be for his glory. If it's children, it has to be for his glory. That way, when it comes to the point where God says, I want you to lay this down for me, you don't have a problem at all. You don't have a problem. That is what I saw. And in Matthew, you know, Jesus says something. Matthew chapter 6, I think, is verse 7. Matthew, Jesus says something interesting. It says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Didn't he give you the word? So what's all that screaming for? You know, when God promises you, it's your faith that releases the promise. It's not the screaming. Don't get me wrong, there's a place for that. There are times that you have to cry to God out of the depths of your heart. But there are times when God has promised you something, all you need to do is to release that thing with your faith. It says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before even you ask him. He knows already. But you need that faith to release that promise that God is giving you. And I wonder how many people here today have received the word from God. And they are constantly praying about it and still not seeing the manifestation. Maybe it's time to activate your faith. Maybe it's time to use your faith to release that blessing that God has upon you. You know, I used to think that, you know, the drought that they were experiencing was because of changes in the weather. No, but it's not. The drought they were experiencing was the drought that they had in themselves. That was causing, it was a reflection of the drought in them that you could see around them. And the moment you deal with inner issues, you begin to see the blessing of God around you. Period. Because you read when God says, when God decided to bring that drought, it wasn't a natural drought. There was more to it. But it was the inner issues, the things that they hadn't dealt with, the attitude they had, that was what was stopping the blessing of God from manifesting. And the moment that was taken away, suddenly you see the blessing of God flowing down like that. You see it. You see, shall we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, please? And let's see what happens. Answer me, Lord, answer me. So these people will know that you are God. 38, I think we've done. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Let's go to 39. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord is God. Now they had made their decision. There was no argument. No more argument. They had made their decision. They had made, and not long after that, heavens broke and the blessings fell. Where do you stand right now? Where do you stand right now? Where do you stand right now? Shall we go to verse 41? It says, then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to Kinston Valley and slaughtered all of them there, 850 of them. And I thought that was harsh. But you see, when God delivers you from something, you have to completely destroy it, because otherwise it can come back and harm you. You have to completely destroy it. Any bridges that will take you back to that place, that God hasn't ordained for you. You need to burn all of those. Destroy them. 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look towards the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked there, and look, there is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. Now they've come to the stage. He's dealt with all the situation that he thought he had to deal with. And Elijah is saying, okay, now go and see, because God promised me that there's going to be rain. Go and check what is happening. The servant comes back and he says, there's nothing. He says, what do you mean there's nothing? You promised me the rain, and now I'm looking forward to it. And he said, there's nothing. And at times, that is how faith can be like. You hear things that you cannot see. You hear things that you cannot see. Say, but I know what I heard. I know what I sensed. I know what I feel. I know this is the word of God. And yet what I'm seeing is completely in contrast with what I'm hearing. How does that work? And I like what Elijah did. He says, well, go again. He says, go back. Go back. Let's go to 40. Go back. Go back. And he did it for 7 times. Said the 7th time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. You know, when it comes to faith, there's that stage of nothingness. There's the stage where you see absolutely nothing. All you have to depend on is the word. You remember last week, if we were here, I spoke about Ezekiel. God put him in the valley of dry bones. And he says, Ezekiel, what, can these bones live? And he said, Lord, you know. You know, you know. And I was saying that it's so hard to see the picture when all you have is the pieces. This time you have nothing at all. All you have is the word. All you have is the word. And he says, he comes back. You see, when things like that happen, you hear the word, but you see nothing happen, it can kill your expectation. It leads to a negative expectation. So you need to come to the point where you have to reset your expectation and line up in the direction of heaven and in the direction of what God is saying. You need to begin to reset that expectation, because when you see something that does not line up with what God is saying, it can lead to discouragement. And you have to begin to reset your expectation. Reset your expectation. He goes to the first time. He goes and look at it the first time. He said, there's nothing there. He says, go again. The second time, there's nothing there. Go again the third time, there's nothing there. Pray again, there's nothing. Keep praising, there's nothing. Keep praying, there's nothing. Keep praying, there's nothing. Keep praising, there's nothing. And he does it for 7 times. 7 is significant. It's the number of completion. The Israelites went around the walls of Jericho 7 times before the walls came down. It's significant. They went around 7 times before it fell down. They could have stopped on 3 or 4 or 5, and they wouldn't have seen that breakthrough, because your breakthrough lies on the other side of Jericho. But if you give up, you miss it. How many times did Naaman have to dip in that river? 7 times. 7 times he did. Initially, he didn't want to do it. He was walking away from his breakthrough. But he changed his opinion and went back, and he got his breakthrough. God created the earth in 6 days. The 7th day he rested, not because he was tired, but because he had completed what he's done. God would not stop with you unless he's completed what he has. He won't. He would not stop with you unless he's completed what he started in you. You know, you go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. It was he initiated that move to say, I'm bringing down rain. It was his move. He initiated it. But all this time, the clouds was hanging around them. But the certain things that the people were, you know, the certain things that were in the people that were stopping the blessing. And the moment that thing was removed, suddenly the heaven broke and they saw the blessing of God. And I believe today somebody needs to reset their expectation. We need to reset your expectation. You need to reset your expectation. Because when you're hearing one thing and you're seeing something else, when they tell you that you're going to be healthy, and all you do is visit the hospital, it can create a negative expectation in you. When they tell you that, or when they tell you every single time you get a prophet to say that, look, I see you getting married, and for years you haven't even been on a date, it can create a negative expectation. negative expectation. As a result, your mindset begins to change, and you're thinking, God, I thought I heard from you. And then now it's like you're playing the 50-50 game, because you always have a plan B, because you feel like God is forgotten about you. But don't give up. Don't give up. There's nothing. Keep praying. There's nothing. Keep praising. There's nothing. Keep fasting. Keep doing what he says you should do until you see the manifestation. Seven doesn't mean you have to do it seven times. It's symbolic for completion. That until you see the manifestation of his power in your life, you don't have to give up. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give up. The seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. And now you can get to that stage where from suddenly from nothing, something begins to happen. Something begins to happen. It may be insignificant. It may be insignificant, but at least something is happening right now. Before he said there was nothing, had he stopped, that significant thing or that insignificant thing probably wouldn't have shown up. But he carried on and carried on. And suddenly, when he thought there was nothing, suddenly he sees a cloud. Well, it's as small as a man's hand, but still it contains something. God is beginning to work. God is beginning to work right now. He's beginning to work right now. He's beginning to change things right now. But I thought you said there was nothing. But no. Suddenly, I'm beginning to see something right now. All because I chose never to give up. All because I chose to reset my expectation. Suddenly, things is beginning to happen. Where are you right now when it comes to your decision before you stand with God? Where are you? You know, I spoke about that woman, Syrophoenician woman who put pressure on Jesus just so she could get her breakthrough. She put so much pressure on Jesus. Jesus said, look, this I didn't come for you. I came for someone else. No. But even the crumbs that fall under the table, it's good enough for me. The pieces that nobody likes, it's good enough for me. Because if your name is in on it, God, it's good for me. It can work wonders. It can work wonders. It was Elijah versus 850 prophets. And they all failed. You know, you don't need a lot of people on your side. You only need the right person on your side to turn your situation around. That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't need 850 prophets. No, all you need is one person on your side and the right person to turn your situation around. You know, and I'm sharing this because, you see, if we don't do what we need to do, if we don't step out the way we need to step out, this year will come and go. And for you, this year of Jubilee will probably mean nothing to you. It will probably mean nothing to you. See, when God speaks, he has a reason why he speaks. It's because he's about to move. He says, I'm not a man that I should lie, or even a son of man that I should change my mind. Have I not said it? Will I not do it? So if you're not seeing, then maybe there's something that needs to shift for his glory to come. Just like the Israelites. Just like the Israelites. Something had to shift out of them. Something, that drought. God had to take that drought out of them for that blessing to flow. And so you ask yourself, right? Many times we think we are for God until we are faced with certain circumstances, certain issues. Then we know where we really stand. We think we know God until we are faced with certain things. Then we begin to think, will I really do this? Will I really do this? So you check your attitude, because it can deny the blessing of God over your life. Where do you stand right now? What are your beliefs right now? It's one thing to say that I believe in God, but deep down, do you really? Because if you do, your actions, you speak louder than your words. And you saw them do it. They had to kill all 850 prophets. That was the action they had to take. As hard as it was, they had to take it. I believe God wants to really bring times of refreshing. I see the cloud of blessing already over your life, just waiting to break right now over you. And I pray that may that blessing pursue you. May the heavens open over your life right now. But you need to do what you have to do. You need to do. I would hate to go through this year the same way as I started. I would hate to, especially when God has said it. He watches over his word to do it. And so if it's not happening, then chances are there's something that I need to shift in my life, to to make way for his blessing. You cannot serve a supernatural God and be the same way. It's impossible. Every single person, even demons, every single person that came into contact with Jesus never left the same. They never left the same. So if day in and day out, things are the same, you ask yourself, Lord, what is happening? Or maybe it's because you didn't reset your expectations. Or maybe it's because you gave up. But you don't have to. You don't have to. It's got your name on it. It's got your name on it. It really has your name on it. And once God starts something, he wouldn't stop until he's completed it. He wouldn't. The only time he'll stop is when you decide to stop him. Shall we be on our feet? Times of refreshing. Times of refreshing are coming. Times of refreshing. Times of restoration is coming. Stop wavering between two opinions. If God is God, then serve him. If it's Baal, serve him. The enemy will always try and bring duplicates in just to confuse you. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat of this fruit? Did he really say that? He's just playing with your mind. He will always try and bring counterfeits your way just to confuse you. And that's where the people were. They serve idols of rain and fertility, and yet they were going through a dry patch. You see, let me ask you a question. If you've got three frogs sitting on a log, and two frogs decide to jump, how many frogs do you have on the log? How many frogs do you have on the log? You still have, if you've got three frogs sitting on a log, and two decide to jump, how many frogs do you have on the log? Three. It's not, they've decided to jump, but they haven't jumped. That's the thing. And so many times we are at the place where we decide to do something, but we haven't done it yet. Deciding to do something doesn't mean you haven't done anything. So you have to make that decision. And that decision is not just word. It has to be followed by an action. Many of us are in that place of decision, thinking we will do it at some point, we will do it at some point. You're just holding back your blessing. You're just. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that before the foundations of this world was established, you knew about this day, and you brought every single person here in this room for a reason. It's because, Lord, you want to deal with everything in them that is stopping the blessing that you have for them. Father, I stand on the authority and name that I have in Jesus, and I break every barrier, oh God, that is standing in the way of their blessing. I speak over the clouds of blessing over their lives, over their families, over their children, that it would break over them right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for what you have started in their lives, oh God. And I thank you that you're not stopping until it's completed, Father. Jesus. Father, if there's anybody here this morning who is finding so hard, oh God, to make that decision, oh God, of committing completely to you, oh Lord, I pray for that strength for that person right now in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody here right now who's heard so much and yet can't see what you're doing, I pray that you open their eyes, that spiritual eyes, that Lord, they begin to see what you're doing in their lives. Even though it may be as small as the arm of a person, I pray that Lord, reset the expectation right now, oh God. Satan, you have no part in the lives of everyone here. You have no part. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you so much. You say your word that comes forth doesn't return to you void, but it accomplishes everything, oh God, that you send it. May your word today accomplish everything that you send it, oh God. and let the manifestation of God that comes with it be the blessing of God upon your people. I thank you so much, Father. And I give you all the glory, Father.